You got good handwriting.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us on this wonderful Sunday of worship. A few announcements before we get started. First of all, I want to thank everybody who participated in our men's breakfast yesterday. I think we had about 70 or 80 people here. It was a wonderful experience, great evangelism for our church, and a great opportunity to bring people together. And I want to thank all the people who volunteered, and thanks for providing the leftovers for breakfast today. They were wonderful. Please don't forget, right after worship, for those of you that are members here, we have our church council covered dish. It'll be a great opportunity really to talk about all the wonderful things that God has done in the life of our congregation. We have a lot to be thankful for this year and a lot of blessings to count, and we are fortunate to get to do that as a community. Don't forget, January 22nd, we have our joint board reorganizational meeting, so tomorrow at 7 p.m., so if you are on trustees or elders, we encourage you to come to that as we pick who's going to be there. If you don't come, we'll stick you with whatever's at the bottom of the scale, so we'll encourage you to come. Also, don't forget, this week we're starting our new ministry. Tuesday from 1:30 to 3, our Cares and Prayers group begins. That is an opportunity for anybody in our community and outside our community to get together and talk about the people in their lives, who they're praying for, what is on your heart and mind, an opportunity for us to really get some time in community and fellowship and talk about the journeys that each one of us are going through. January 23rd, Tuesday, 7 p.m., don't forget, OMMC will be here, so if you are on that board, we are thankful for your service and the opportunity. We have a lot of shared ministries going on in Ohio right now, and that'll keep us busy, but it is a good kind of busy. That's for sure. And Friday, January 26th, we have family game night from 6 to 9 this coming Friday. Great opportunity to bring the family. We're asking people to bring a dish to share. I know we'll have no problem doing that. It'll be a great time to play with the kids, and they can get beat by their pastor in whatever game they choose. I mean, it's really their choice how they want to suffer. We'll throw that promise out there. And also don't forget our pre-synod meeting. February 3rd will be on a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2. It is around the corner before you know it. That'll be for all the Ohio Synod delegates and alternates, and for board members are invited to come. A great opportunity to see what's happening in the larger life of our church as we prepare to get ready for a provincial synod this coming June. And then February 14th, Valentine's Day, we will be celebrating our ecumenical Ash Wednesday service right here at Shenron. At 7 p.m., that is a co-ministry between us and the Presbyterians in the town, the Episcopalians, and the ELCA. And so it's on Valentine's Day, so if you want to give up chocolate for Lent just 6:45 before the service, just gorge yourself with chocolate, and then come ready to worship God and give up chocolate for Lent. And also, finally, the last shared ministry, February 19th in Lent, that Monday. For those of you that did the Tuscora Park brown bag lunch during the summer, we're going to do something similar during Lent from 12 to 1:15, where you can bring your brown bag lunch and you can come to Shenbrunn. Actually, we'll be hosting this 12 to 1. Bring your lunch. We'll be talking about what we're talking about in church on Sunday. Every single Ohio church in the area is going to be focusing on similar subjects for Lent. John Wallace wrote the bulletin backs for our Lenten series, and it's about the movie Inside Out. And so for those of you that are familiar with that children's movie, it's actually very deep about human emotions, and each week we're going to look at what happens if I turn to my Bible when I'm angry, when I'm depressed, when I'm joyful, and how does that influence how I read my Bible. And it'll be a good chance for us to talk about how our emotions influence us as a community. And then don't forget, next Sunday is our fourth Sunday choir. And also, kids, it's last Sunday of the month, so you can bring your toy to stump your pastor. And this time I'll be ready for you, Miss Paige Martin. You got me good last time. At this time, I'd like to invite anybody else if they have any other announcements. All right, let's take a moment to stand and greet one another.
Morning, Becky.
Morning, Angie.
Morning, Charlotte.
Morning, McKenna.
Morning, Jacob.
Morning, Randy.
Morning, Joe.
Good morning. Officially, good morning, Melissa. Good morning. Good morning, Kathy. How's my secretary doing? Ready? We got the energy.
At this time, I invite you to return to your seat. You can remain standing as we join together for our watchword of the week. And our watchword for this week will come from the 62nd chapter of Psalms, the 8th verse. Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for all. You may be seated.
God alone is our
our salvation. Both people trust in him at all times.
Let us pour out our hearts before him. God is a refuge for us.
You can remain standing for our next hymn, The Church is One Foundation.
Continuing the liturgy from last week. God shows no partiality to race or culture. All who have reverence for him and do what is right are acceptable to God.
Let us give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son.
How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such large measure.
This is the good news. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, all people may participate in God's blessings.
We are members of the same body and share the promise that God made through Christ Jesus.
There is no longer rich or poor, black or white, male or female, for we are all one in union with Christ Jesus.
If we belong to Christ, then we are members of God's family and will receive what God has promised.
Amen.
Jesus, God in our sight.
let us offer intercessions and petitions for the needs of the world. Lord Jesus Christ, as disciples called to your service, we pray for the salvation of all. Lead us to bear witness to friends and neighbors in this community. Fill our words and manner of life with the convincing power of your Spirit. Intensify our love for all people, that our discipleship may be confirmed as genuine. Through our obedience to your call, bestow on many the faith to be saved. Give every gift and blessing to your witness in all places. May those who suffer because they have named you as Lord be strengthened to endure every temptation. Give courage, insight, and loving patience to those who have left their own people to proclaim the gospel to those yet unreached. Savior, grant that your church may always grow in grace and in numbers. Bring multitudes from every people to bow and confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Please stand. No one could count all the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language, and they stood in front of the throne and of the Lamb, holding palm branches in their hands. They called out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who sits on the throne, and from the Lamb."
Praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated.
In our offerings today, we remember all the gifts that God has given us. And I think for devotions at our church council, we're going to get a real treat. Linda Bonnell found a newsletter from 1972 that was talking about some of the struggles and the challenge that Schoenbrunn faces. And I won't give that away yet, but it reminded me that from 1972 to 2018, our church has had so many opportunities where we could have said no, where we could have walked away, and we could have let this building be. But God has found a way each and every time to strengthen this community, to not only get us through those moments, but to provide us with the exact strength we need. And today we give thanks to the God who strengthens this community every single day.
Thank you.
Please rise. Join together in prayer. Dear Savior, when we think the gift we have been given not enough, help us to remember many of your first disciples were simple fishermen. Let us be empowered to share the gospel with the patience and faith of fishermen. Amen. You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we continue to hold in our prayers our community, our country, and our world. We remember specifically Caitlin Kinsey, who has possible gum cancer. Linda Bennington's cousin, Larry Burns, having a lung removed on, Tuesday. And then we remember Barbara, Steve, you have beautiful handwriting, but sometimes I can't always read. Barbara Dieran is in hospice, mother of Danielle Rossi. We continue to uplift her in prayer. Vicky Pompey passed away. Prayers for her family. And we give thanks for Patrick Pasquinelli, who had a successful surgery and is recovering well. And we uplift the people in our local community. We have a lot of people. Flu season has been rampant across our community. And we continue to uplift those who are not only recovering, but are also recovering and taking care of kids as well. And we know how challenging that can be. And we remember all people in these times. And we give thanks for Reverend Laura Gordon, one of my classmates from seminary, who will be going from Advent Moravian in Bethlehem. And she's accepted a call to Palmyra Moravian in New Jersey. And we also give thanks to Shenick Moravian, who today will be installing the Reverend Garrett and Sinette Fleming. They are close friends to Emily and I. Garrett is actually the one who introduced me to Emily, so I owe that guy for life, so I'm always going to be picking him up. And also, we pray for our church council today. We really do have a blessing today to celebrate all the gifts that God has bestowed upon us. And I know sometimes church councils can be challenging, but they serve as a reminder of the heartbeat of our congregation that stays alive and kicking, and that we realize how many ministries we think our small little church can touch, and we do touch quite a few lives. We also give thanks to our guests. We got some guests from Sharon Moravian today, so it's good to have them with. Y'all are welcome to come for dinner. You don't have to stay for church council, though. Let us take a moment in silence to invite God into this house of worship. God, we give you thanks for the community that we share today. As we worship you today, as we celebrate church council, as we celebrated the breakfast that we had these past couple days, we give thanks for the community and the life that you provide us with. Because we get to share in so much laughter and joy and wonder and get reminded of all the awesome things that you do in our world. But gracious God, we can turn to you with heavy hearts. For there are many people in our world who are sick, hungry, in need of faith, love, friendship. So many people who were mentioned in our prayer concerns who are currently battling afflictions. God, help them to see that they are not alone. That when the going gets tough, you, God, will show up for us. Because you are a present God who reminds us every single day that we are your children and you love us and support us. And God, we turn our hearts to our community and to our world. And we ask that you bless us with servants' hearts. And today we remember the story of two fishermen, two very common, ordinary people who were called by Christ to share an extraordinary gospel. And remind us that you call each and every one of us exactly as you created us to be. And we have a story to tell, a story to share. For God's love lives within each and every one of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture reading is Jonah chapter 3, 1 through 5, and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days. The Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to least, put on When God saw that they, what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened.
Thank you, Paige. Our gospel today comes from the first chapter of Mark, the beginning of the Galilean ministry, when Jesus calls his first disciples. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. Sit up here, Aubrey. All right. So good morning.
Good morning.
Let's hear it loud and proud. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Got the energy today. So what we're going to talk about a little bit in our message today, we're going to talk about vacations and trips we go on. Do any of you have a special vacation spot for your family? Nick, where do you guys go? Florida, Disney World. That's a pretty good spot to go vacation. Yeah. Oh, Great Wolf Lodge. That's a pretty cool place. Paige, how about you?
Lake Atwood.
That's a pretty special place. Anybody else have any other special places?
No, we went on a trip yet.
You went on a trip too?
No. You will go on a trip. I think you have gone on a trip before. Or somebody's blackmailing his father right now. We never know. So I'm going to tell you about one of my favorite vacation spots going up. You know where we went? We went to the lake. We went fishing. And we hung out at the lake. Has anybody's parents ever take them on fishing trips? Yep. Did dad, was it mom, dad? Did the whole family go? Everybody tried to get cramped up on the boat. So do you guys like fishing? Is it fun? Guess what? For me, it was super hard. Because when I was your age, guess there's a one thing that all fishermen need that I didn't have. You know what it was? Fish what? Fishing rod. That's very important too. But this is more emotional inside of me. What's something that a fisherman needs more than anything? A tracking? It's a good. Oh, okay. That's one. Paige, how about that? That's a good one. You know what I needed? I needed patience. Do any of you guys struggle with patience? No? No? We all struggle with patience. Because you know it's really, fishing is so much fun, but you know what's the hardest part is? Is when you cast your rod out, and you sit, and you watch your bobber like a V-line, and you just wait, and you wait, and you wait. Who has a hard time with that? I am so bad at waiting. So you know when I was your age, I would cast out my rod, and before it would hit the water, I'd be reeling it back in because I needed... And you guess what? You think I was a good fisherman when I did that? No, because I didn't have a whole lot of patience. So the more I learned about patience, the better fisherman I became. And I want to encourage you guys that patience with everybody, with your family, with your brothers and sisters, with your mom and dad, it's very helpful. Because the one fish that I'm after, it's called a muskie. And you know what? You know how many casts it takes to catch a muskie on average? Anybody want to guess?
21.
How many did you say? 21, way more than that.
Oh, I think I got it.
What?
1,000.
1,000 more than that. Paige?
2,000.
A million less than that. It's 10,000 casts.
Oh,
they call it the fish of 10,000 casts. Okay. You were there. You were there on the next one. But you know what? I've been alive for 28 years now, and I've never caught a muskie. And I guarantee it's been more than 10,000 casts. But I'm still going to be patient because I know that God will provide. And maybe since it's been 28 years, it says more about the fisherman than the fish now. But someday I'm going to catch me that fish. And that's what happens. Every time we cast with faith. Because we hope that on the other end of the line, there's going to be something there waiting for us. And each one of us live our lives with patience and faith. So go forth in your lives and your world this week with patience and faith. Let's do our joyful noise offering. We're going to raise some money for our regional youth count. Conference for Tar Hollow, and we're going to come back here and we're going to do a prayer together. You want to go with one of the boys right there? You want to help Aubrey, Ryland? Why don't you help your sister? Ryland, why don't you go with Aubrey? Why don't you help Aubrey? Jonathan, come here. Thank you, Mr. Jonathan. All right, everybody bring them up here. Bring them right here. We'll put them down and then we'll get in our prayer circle. Whoa. All right, bring them right on up. Come back up. They're not taking no for an answer, people. Thank you very much. All right, everybody, let's get in our circle and let's pray together. Can we do that? Everybody take hands? All right, let's pray. God, we come before you thankful for these kids. We ask that you bless their learning, their life at school, their life at home. and help them to see that they are blessed as children of God, that you will protect them and guide them exactly where they need to be, and help them to see that they are the leaders of the church, where they encourage us to live our lives with joy, love, and forgiveness for all. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all very much. Grab a treat before you go. And remember, patience is a virtue. There we go. Perfect. You may remain seated as we join together in song. Together in a moment of prayer. God, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the words that you inspire to teach us. And when we have doubts and we have questions, remember that no matter what, we can come and follow you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I alluded this a little bit in my children's lesson, but I want to tell you a story about a 9-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy, I'm that 5-year-old boy, whose parents took them fishing one day. And we went up to if you know my dad, he's a man of habit. He's the guy that makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on Wednesday because he had it on Tuesday, and that's what he's going to have on Thursday. And that's just kind of how my father is. So we go to the same vacation spot every year, the same spot that his parents have taken him for about 50, 60 years. And it's on Lake Intent in St. Germain, Wisconsin. And I remember the stories vividly. I remember being that little boy and my sister about 4 or 5 years older and getting in the back of our family station wagon. We always thought it was so cool that we could sit in the back and watch all the people go by. And I know many of you grew up with that Chevy Chase experience where you're in the back of the station wagon. And I remember as a boy launching from the pier to get down there and just jumping into that aluminum can that we called a boat. And I had a juice box in one hand and I had a fishing pole in the other. And my baseball cap was always on backwards, just like my favorite player, Ken Griffey Jr. And my sister, she would begrudgingly get in the boat. She had her New Kids on the Block life vest. And she knew, because she knew over the course of those next few hours, that her impatient little brother, persistent little brother, is going to do everything in his power to give her good reason to throw him overboard. And she knows exactly what Jesus meant when she jumps into that boat, that thou shalt not lead us into temptation, because she is going to be incredibly tempted throughout this journey. And for my parents, looking back, I can remember them just taking a deep breath, because they know that nice, quiet sanctuary that they have on that lake, that it's about to disappear. It's going to be invaded by their kids. And biblically, it could be described as moaning and gnashing of the teeth. Because they're going to hear, are we there yet? Are we there yet? When's it going to be my turn? She's fishing in my spot. He caught my fish, but I saw it first. And they're going to hear that for 2 hours. And they are going to need a lot of patience and persistence. But you know what? Those are the things that happen in the moment. And despite all of the annoyances that happened that day, all four of that people in that boat will look back on those days in the future as cherished memories of time they spent together as a family, that they walked together. In fact, I'd wager someday those kids might take their very own children back to that same exact spot to go fishing, and they'll do it all over again. For the time they spent together as a family, as a group, came from a place of deep, unconditional love for each other. Because love has a way of making us forget all of our petty annoyances and focus on what brought us together. Love trumps all things, and that is the message that Jesus brings to us. And I think we need to remember that, because our gospel message today is about evangelism, about going out. Jesus sees two fishermen and recognizes that they have a call to serve. And we hear that word evangelism, and it goes off like a flashlight in our brain, because we don't know what it means. It's a big church word that makes us feel uncomfortable, and we squeam at that. But our best source of evangelism, let's not even call it evangelism, of telling our story about God's relationship with us, I think that's the best way we beat that, is just sharing our story. Because our best source of telling our story comes from doing what we already love to do and bearing witness to that. So if you're somebody who likes to go out and do missions, God's not asking you to become somebody who goes on knocking door to door. God's asking you to go out and do mission and tell people about that. Tell how you get to be God's hands and feet. And if you're somebody who likes to get the prayer group together or do the Bible study, God will work in that. God promises to do that, because God calls Simon and Andrew exactly as they are. He embraced who they were created to be. And I think it's great, the story of Jesus calling his 12 disciples. He doesn't look for the doctors, the lawyers, the Pharisees. He seeks out the people who get their hands dirty, the ones who he knows who are willing to work hard for it. Fishermen were very common in Galilean society. Fish was their predominant way of eating. It's how they got food. William Barclay, a scholar, said that on average, there'd be about 300 boats out on the Sea of Galilee at any given time throughout the day. And fishermen were the most common of people. But Jesus saw those were the people that he wanted to invite, because he knew that his message, his gospel, was not just for the elite, but it was for everybody. The people who weren't afraid to roll up their hands. And I think we need to remember that. We need to embrace who God created each one of us to be. Because God will work through that. One of my favorite stories is the story of the stuttering salesman. And there's a salesman who's a very successful salesman, but he had one problem. He had an immense stutter. It made it very difficult for him to finish sales. And he was very, very successful at what he did. But that stutter for him was like a chain around his neck, because it made him think of all the things that he could be without it, how accomplished of a person he would be. And so he, through prayer, he was finally persistent enough that God came to him and said, you know what, I will take away your stutter. I will fix this for you. And so the very next day, after the salesman gets his stutter fixed, he goes back to work. And you know what happens? People stop buying stuff from him because there's nothing special about him. He's just an ordinary, slicked up, dolled up salesman that looks like he's trying to sell something. And it turned out that stutter that he had made him more empathetic. People understood him. They didn't expect him to be the slick guy. They just assumed him to be somebody just like them. And it turned out that his greatest source of weakness was his greatest source of strength. It was his stutter. People trusted him because he was willing to be who he was. And remember that. When you think about all the weaknesses, all the challenges, all the things in your life where you say, God, if I just didn't have that one thing, I would be so perfect, so much better. Because that weakness could be the source of your strength. And this text also makes us think about how we work together as a church. How do we, as a church, fish for souls? How do we reach people? How do we get out of our comfort zone? And I think one of the challenges we have as Moravians, we talked about it in our Bible study today, is that we may not knock on people's doors, we may not be relentless in selling who we are and what we believe, but we do have a story to tell. We do have a witness to bear, to tell people about how God is working with us. And I think the best way to share our story, to reach people, is through what we talked about in our children's lesson. Patience and listening. Because any of you who are good fishermen know that you do not bring the fish. The fish does not come to you. You go to the fish. You go where they are. Because if you sit out in the middle of the lake and you just drop your rod wherever you want to, chances are you're not going to find that fish. You got to meet that fish where they go, where they're willing to go. And be patient with them. Because you never know when that line will strike. And I want you to think about that, because we put so much pressure on ourselves when we evangelize, when we share our stories, that I got to have the perfect answer to everything, that if somebody has a question about what my relationship with Jesus is like, that I have to have it perfectly planned out. But one thing I've noticed in my life is that the best advice givers, the ones that I go to for counsel and wisdom, they don't actually give me advice. They don't actually give me answers. What those people do is they ask really thoughtful questions that allow me to come to my own conclusions. So you think you need to be empowered with all these answers, but just be willing to ask people questions. Ask what God does for them. Ask what you hope to gain from a church. And if you take the time to listen to people, to hear people, to see people, that can be a much more powerful source of evangelism than you'll ever know. Because if you look at the new people who walk through our doors, it's not because of a pamphlet, it's not because we had a sign, usually a sign out on the window, but it's because somebody personally invited them to our community. That they showed that I am having a personal response to God in this community, and I would like you to be a part of that. And that is the best part of how we go forward. And finally, we as a community are called to bear witness to all the wonderful things that Christ has done through us. Because we at Schönbrunn Moravian Church, we may not be the biggest fish in the sea, but God is not asking us to be right now. We are a community of believers that have been blessed. We have seen growth in attendance, and we have had a wonderful fiscal year, one of our best ever. And our church may not have all the bells and whistles that some other churches have, but we need to remind people that if you want a community that sincerely wants to get to know you, pray with you, help pick you up when you're feeling kicked down, that they have a home in our church. That is the sanctuary. That is the gift that we bring. And Jesus teaches us in this lesson today with Andrew and Simon that we don't need a gimmick, but simply that we are called to love people exactly where they are. And brothers and sisters, go forth from this place and share the good news about all the wonderful things that God is doing for us. And you will see how much that good news spreads. Amen. Let us pray. God, we go before you today, realizing you call us to reach out to people and see them exactly where they are. God, help us to do that within our own confines of ourselves. Help us to see that you're not asking us to be something we're not, but you're asking us to bear witness to the truth that God provides each one of us. And help us to go forth into our worlds and into our lives, knowing that you, God, will guide us exactly where we need to be. Whether we are fishermen, whether we are teachers, whether we are ministers, whether we are moms or dads or brothers or sisters or sons or daughters, you, God, will guide us. You, God, will catch us. And we are so thankful for that. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as once again we join together in song.
Thank you.
We will share in the words of God's benediction for us, and then after that we'll sing grace and get ready to celebrate a meal together as we go forth to be bear witness of the cross as we celebrate church council together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.